It's a costly tantrum. I just went back and watched Sergio's tantrum at the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
He hit a tee shot that faded a little bit right.
Like 12 yards, maybe?
Yeah. I'd be like, hell yeah. Meanwhile, he slams his driver into the ground twice and then like takes it to the advertisement on the side of the tee box.
Yeah.
And that was the final straw for Liv,
according
to this report.
I'll tell you what, though. I love it. I loved reading that. That made me so happy.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm a noted Liv hater.
Same.
I'm already happy.
But I add pre-Liv Sergio Garcia into the mix. Hated Sergio forever, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, you must not have liked Sergio.
No. His whining his entire career and all the stuff with Tiger, and I'm never going to win a major, and then he does win a major. And he's just done what he did at Augusta. He's done his entire career, and it's been extremely annoying. And then he becomes a Liv guy, and then he ends up being perhaps the downfall of the tour.
He was the darling of golf because he was young and talented, and everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. And I think the pressure got to him where it just became too much, where, hey, man, why aren't you winning majors at this point? I mean, and he was a contemporary of Tiger at the time, clearly not the same level. And I think eventually the pressure got to him, and then he just exploded within and became this temperamental figure on the golf course, which is what he is now, and not very likable as it is.
It was kind of like Scooble. It was like the more he talked, the more annoyed you got with him. And it was like, dude, just stop.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I've never had that big of an issue with Sergio, but I had a huge issue with Liv, which made me have a big issue with Sergio, and I want all those guys to fail.
I believe I don't remember specifically,
is that a little bitter?
And all those guys talked at the time of, you know, the split, but I vaguely remember Sergio was one of the louder Liv golf speakers at the time of being against the PGA Tour and just saying dumb stuff and not being complimentary to the tour guys and just dumb quotes left and right. And so the fact that he's the one who perhaps caused the end of the league. Oh.
And these guys are under such scrutiny too. I mean, every shot you take is filmed. Every reaction you take or you have is filmed. It's tough. Like, think about if you, in your own game as an amateur, getting out there and things you say, things that you do. Although I don't do as much. For me, it's more what comes out of my mouth. I have a filthy mouth.
I don't know that I've ever
I am absolutely horrendous. Yeah, it should be censored.
I don't know that I've ever reacted, though, like things you do physically like Sergio does in that clip. And that's just one of like dozens.
I've got friends that have, and they've gotten better at it.
Those people are lunatics. Like, you don't belong on the golf course.
Well,
man.
What happens?
You can't control it.
What I came to realize is when somebody in your foursome is losing their mind, it takes away from the fun everybody else
so
has.
So much takes away.
And so I have moved beyond.
And those people are inconsolable. You can try to say, hey, man, really, let's have a beer, relax. And then they get pissed at you and you're like, all right.
I'll say smart ass things like, well, good hustle. And then that just makes it worse.
You and I, when we play golf together, typically, one of us or both of us are playing horribly.
Do you remember the round we played with Stoney 2 months ago?
Yeah, it was horrible.
And remember, like hole 14, I suddenly couldn't hit the ball at all.
Yeah.
And I went through four holes where I picked up repeatedly. Yeah. And I just went over the cart and sad drank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, forget it. I'll just sad drink.
But better than ripping up the tee box.
Yes, well, 100%. Right. And it was because they're still playing well. I'm now slowing down the group. This is terrible. Hey, is that a course? And that was it. You know?
So you hit a little baby fade to the right side of the fairway and you were pissed about that?
Yeah, right. Like Sergio, yeah.
295 off the tee and 12 yards offline.
Damn it!
We try a lot here to not give people to set their agenda. Set your own agenda. However, I will just say this. If you throw temper tantrums on golf courses, you make it uncomfortable for the rest of the group. And that was a lesson for me. The first time I was with somebody really losing it, I'm like, okay. And then nobody talked for like four holes.
Right.
And I'm like, all right. So this is the impact of temper tantrum.
I think you need to reset your expectations as well. Like, it's one thing for Sergio to be upset, and I think the shot he hit is not worthy of the reaction that he had. But he's a professional golfer who's been doing this his entire life for 6 hours a day, right? If you are a 20 handicapper going out there. There is never in the world a shot that would ever garner that type of reaction.
Because
you're not good at golf.
Right, right.
And nobody's good at golf. That's what I always say. Right. You know, you tell people you play golf, they go, oh, are you any good? I say, no one's good at this game.
Does Rieger throw temper tantrums?
Yes. But he's gotten better at it, but he still does. Yeah. It's not, I mean, I've played with him before where he's been terrible with the temper tantrums. This last time when we played, and Brendan's with us, I don't think he was nowhere near as bad.
I would say it was pretty normal for someone who had as bad a day as he had.
Yeah.
Eventually on the back nine, he was struggling to just hit the ball, and it was just, you know, a couple bleep words here and there and some frustrations and whatnot, but.
Gator, all right, thank you.
Yeah.
Update, kid. Gator, I'm going to read you four stories.
Sure, money out of his pocket.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to read you four stories. You tell me which one took place in Florida.
All right, here we go.
Your story.
Florida stories.
Yeah, here we go. 16-year-old girl stormed a middle school football field, tackling a player and shoving him down a second time after he stood up. The incident occurred Tuesday night. Video reviewed by TMZ captured the confrontation, which appeared to target a player involved in a brief end zone scuffle following a touchdown. Officials stopped play, cleared the field. The girl was arrested on assault and disorderly conduct charges.
Okay.
A woman faces serious charges after allegedly biting off her husband's ear during a domestic dispute on an interstate highway. Authorities say the couple had attended a boat party before arguing while driving home. The woman allegedly bit her husband's right ear, severing part of it. He was treated at a medical center and later underwent reattachment surgery.
Oh. Are they still together?
Story three, a suspicious object outside a firehouse triggered a bomb squad response and snarled rush hour traffic Wednesday morning before authorities identified it as a sex toy. Police were called around 7 a.m. after an electronic device was exposed with wires spotted outside the building. Witnesses said the person who left it had briefly spoken to a firehouse employee before fleeing the scene. The police explosive ordnance disposal unit investigating the object, shutting down surrounding traffic until 9 a.m., a police report ultimately described the device as an electronic sex portable pump device. And finally, a man was arrested for allegedly robbing a Shake Shack where he worked, then returning to the location to work 2 days later. He allegedly entered through the rear delivery door on August 3rd, forced a coworker into a walk-in cooler at gunpoint, direct the manager to open a safe, stealing $2,800. He then destroyed everyone's phone by submerging them in water. Investigators say his knowledge of the store layout, his voice, and physical characteristics helped identify him. Surveillance footage and cell phone records placed him at the scene. A firearm and cash consistent with the stolen amount was recovered at his home. He was arrested August 5th and it was while still wearing his Shake Shack uniform and held on a $100,000 bond. One of these stories is in Florida.
Okay. So glad you're saying that. It's not like, hey, guess what? They're all from Florida.
No, it's not a trick question.
So I don't think the first one is because you start with a 16-year-old girl and tackling somebody in the end zone, waiting for them to get back up and tackling them a second time is awesome. But that strikes me as other SEC country, not Florida.
Okay, what state?
I'm going to think that's, I'll say Alabama.
Okay.
Or Georgia, one of those two. The third story, what was the third story? That was the...
The third story was the bomb that they thought it was a bomb. It was
right,
a sex toy.
Right, but it was toy. A sex toy. Yeah. I mean, look, sex toys are coming back in a big, big way in the news. You see more stories. Well, I saw another one today about sex toys being thrown on the court at a WNBA game. We remember what it was like at the Buffalo Bills. They were throwing them out in the end zone. I mean, football season is going to ramp up again. I don't. It doesn't because it's an item rather than a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rule that out because all the good Florida stories are Florida man does this, Florida woman does this.
Okay,
but that's out.
Where do you think that took place? Just to make a guess.
Yeah, sure. I would say that one took place. I'll go California somewhere. Okay. The fourth story, the most recent one you read,
the Shake Shack employee.
I'm tempted with this one because I've been to a Shake Shack in Florida, in Central Florida, but I don't know if the story sounds as just crazy enough to me. Could it happen in Florida? Absolutely, it could happen. But I'm not going to go with it. I'm going to go with the other story. This story, I think, happened maybe somewhere more in the Midwest. I'll go with
Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shake Shack story, I'm going to say, took place Ohio. I don't know if Ohio has Shake Shack. So that leaves me with the second story. And my reasoning in thinking that the second story is in Florida is because it involves a crazy couple.
Mm-hmm.
What did they leave? They were leaving.
They were having a boat party.
Leaving a boat party. So boat party means you got to have water. And clearly Florida has water, whether it's inland lakes or if it's the intercoastals or the ocean. But yes, they've got plenty of water in the state of Florida. But for someone to lose their mind so much that they're going to snap at their husband by literally biting part of his ear off screams to me, Florida woman arrested for biting husband's earlobe off.
Okay. Your reasoning for all these, solid. Teen girl charged after tackling football player, you said down south, but not Florida.
Right.
You said Alabama or Georgia. The correct answer is Tennessee.
Okay, SEC.
But I give you partial credit for that. Bomb squad called over sex toy thought to be a bomb. You said California. It was Washington, D.C.
Oh, total opposite side. Washington, D.C. Yep. Okay, all right. Third one makes sense. You know, they're a little repressed there.
Shake Shack employee arrested for robbing his own store. You said Ohio. Correct answer, Arizona.
Okay.
And Gator? A Boca Raton woman faces serious charges after allegedly biting part of her husband's ear off during a domestic dispute. Amy Arlene Baker was arrested August 15th and charged with aggravated assault. Authorities say the couple just attended a boat party in Fort Lauderdale. For arguing while driving home, Baker was booked into a Broward County jail. The case remains under investigation. You nailed it, my friend.
What part of that description do you think that you just read makes me laugh the most?
Of the that I just
that
read?
That you just read.
Amy Arlene Baker.
100%. Hundo P, Doug. Hundo P. Amy Arlene. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Amy Arlene Baker? Amy Arlene?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic. We don't have enough Arlenes in this world. And for them to bust it out for the middle name, that's awesome. That tells me it's like a family name. And then because you went with Amy for the first name, but we got to honor the family. We got to honor Grandma Arlene, Nana Arlene. I love it.
Isn't that consistent with what Ted from the movies Ted used to say about multiple names?
Ted Clubberlang?
Is that the name of the pair?
That's what he wanted in Ted, too. He wanted his name to be Clubberlang.
Oh. Didn't he have a theory about that?
Where Mark Wahlberg was going after all the names, trying to figure out who was Tamulin. I don't know.
Yeah. Does Amy Arlene fall into that category?
Kind of.
Yeah. Well done, Gator. And not at all surprised that you got this right. Spin the wheel one more time. And it lands on Sarah Chevrolet Livery. Okay, Tigers in action tonight. Troy Melton looking for a bounce back outing after not so great against the White Sox. Joe bounced back nicely. He wasn't great, but he bounced back nicely.
One run in five innings? Yep. I'll take that.
Some ducks on the pond, but got out of jams, and he's a third start of the year. Very glad for that. So now it's Melton's turn. You are glad they're facing a lefty.
Yeah, because I want to see. It comes down to Eduardo Valencia. Yeah. I want Eduardo Valencia to be in the lineup almost the rest of the season, even though I know that they're not going to give him as many opportunities against righties, despite the fact that his splits are almost dead even with at-bats and batting average and OPS and all that stuff. They're almost dead even against righties versus lefties. I'd like to see him play a lot just the rest of the way because I want to know if he's a guy or not. Is it just a flash in the pan here, or is this guy building off of what he had done the last year and a half that he was in the minors? Because he really burst on the scene last year and carried it over this year, and you couldn't ignore him. I want to see him. I want to see how you lead. Again, another guy. I'm not sure, because I didn't think Hao Yuli had a high ceiling, and yet he's playing at a high level right now. I want to see him continue to do it. So you got a left-handed pitcher, right-handed infielder, play him wherever you're going to play him. Ben Malgeri, does he probably get a chance? Because they need right-handed hitting outfielders, and he's one of those. I like what we've seen out of Ben Malgeri.
Looking forward to them being back in action and trying to bounce back from what has been a rough week. The Tigers, but hey, man, it's August 21st, and we're still talking about meaningful games in spite selling Scooble and Mize. I'll take it. In the meantime, I mentioned it before the break at 1 o'clock, and then we had the whole story about Sergio throwing a tantrum at the Masters, and that was the final straw, apparently, for Liv pulling the plug, which is hysterical and funny and probably an excuse. But I said, I think this team's days of competing at the highest level are over. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, no. You didn't just do that. You're doubting Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
I don't know if I would do that. I'm not going to write him off just yet. I appreciate that you've done it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that takes some huevos to do that, particularly after they've added Kenneth Walker, and now they have a running game to help take the burden off of Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. However, he is coming off, an Achilles injury?
Knee.
Is it knee?
Yep.
So he's coming off that. Is he going to be 100% ready to go for game one? I mean, he'll be healthy enough to play, but is he anywhere near 100%? Is that going to hinder him at all? And then, of course, you're never 100% during the season. It's a fair question to ask. You're calling your shot early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less inclined to do that with him because of the addition of Kenneth Walker. I think I can make big difference for Kansas City in their face.
See what the offensive line is? I got questions about their pass catchers, Rashee Rice. You know,
yeah.
First of all, there's been some question about what kind of shape he is in. I think their stud tight end has got some distractions in his life. And yeah, I got questions about Mahomes and his. I wonder if losing maybe half a step is going to make a huge difference with him. But I am. Kang, you reacted back behind the glass.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bold call. I mean, I made the bold call last year that they wouldn't make the playoffs, but I'm not going to continue that streak this year. I think they get back in. So I'm on the opposite of you, Doug. I think, but you said elite, right? Did you say?
I said their days of competing at the highest level are over.
I don't think so. I think as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, I think he is the closest we'll probably see to a Tom Brady type of successful quarterback as far as, you know, championship games, Super Bowls, things like that. I think as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, you got more than a chance. And I think he alone enough carries them to get to the playoffs. Now, how far they go into that high level competing that you're talking about, yeah, it's gonna matter a lot about a supporting cast, but I think they know that. And so they made some moves this offseason, whether they work out or not, we'll find out. But I think they're not done, Doug.
Okay.
Well, but it's a bold call by you.
Well, just you know, sitting around getting ready for football season, and I'm like, you know, I think it's over for them.
They went heavy on defense in the draft. The first four picks were on defense, including Mansoor Delane, the corner from LSU, who's awfully talented. Their fifth pick, the first offensive pick, was a running back, Emmett Johnson, out of Nebraska. We know about him. He's pretty good. And they finished up their draft with Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback, in the seventh round to get Garrett Nussmeier. Interesting. And they have Justin Fields as the backup.
If Garrett Nussmeier is a factor,
he's not.
Then I'm going to be right.
No, but that's helped me also to say that Justin Fields is the backup, and they may have the best backup quarterback in the National Football.
It's probably better than Detroit's. And final thing here,
yeah.
Gator.
Yeah.
You're going to love this. Joe Lunardi just updated bracketology.
All right, that's it. I got to go. Don't. Come on.
Here are your one seeds.
All right.
In the East, Duke. In the South, Florida. In the West, Arizona. And in the Midwest, Illinois. Michigan State is a two seed.
Oh, look at that.
Guess which region they're in.
Oh, I don't know. Midwest.
No. They're not in Illinois' bracket.
The Duke bracket, whatever. That's how I should have said this right off the bat. They're in Duke's bracket, aren't they?
Duke is the one seed in the East. Michigan State is the two seed in the East.
Yeah, got to be that way. That's just how life is.
We actually did the data. It feels like they're always in Duke's bracket. They're really not, no. But it feels like they are.
August 21st, he's got bracketology.
He's got bracketology.
Of course he does.
They'll take on St. Thomas in round one, being played in Pittsburgh. Michigan is the 2 seed in the South. It will take on Central Arkansas and Louisville.
Who's number one in the South?
That would be Florida.
Of course.
Well, I thought you might find it interesting that Michigan State is aligned with Duke. Because out of all the bracketology predictions, you actually might get on board on this one being true on August 21st. 248-539-9797.
I can't believe you just did bracketology in August. I mean, that's that might be an all-timer for
you. It might be an all-timer.
And I know part of it's just a troll job because you know I hate the bracketology.
Part of it? By part of it, you mean 100% of it. I guess that does qualify as part of it.
Well, you have to take consideration of what you think the audience will enjoy too. So,
final thing here. Did you see it lands on BYU football? Pete Sampson from...
My inner child is anticipating this answer because I'd love BYU football.
Well, BYU fan now, according to Pete Sampson, who covers Notre Dame for The Athletic, for the BYU Notre Dame game in Provo, fans can bid on a press box pregame meal experience.
In Provo?
Yep.
Okay.
It's for $802.15. Before the game, a fan can go eat the pregame media meal in the press box.
Just to eat the meal? They get to stay in the press box and watch the game?
No, it's just the pregame press box pregame meal experience.
I'm going to pay $800 to get the press meal in Provo?
Yep.
No, I'm not. Why would anybody do this?
Here's why. Because I remember going to games as a fan, sitting there looking up at the press box and thinking, that must be the coolest thing ever.
Okay, it's been a... I'm not going to say it's been a minute since I've been in a college press box, because that's not true. But the meals in the college press, there's nothing to them, for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Wisconsin, they give you a brat. At Michigan, what are they? They had hot dogs for a while.
They have better food now. Pre-game meals catered by Tucanos, which sounds like a Mexican restaurant.
Well, now I'm interested.
Incredible panoramic view of the field and stadium. Access to the Lavelle Edwards Stadium press box for 30 minutes, beginning 90 minutes prior to kickoff.
So now, not only is it $800 and I get the meal, but I've only got 30 minutes to really enjoy it.
Participants must be 8 years of age or older, non-refundable, does not include game ticket, and must wear BYU or neutral gear.
Doesn't include your ticket.
No.
And I have to wear... neutral gear or BYU? Well, I wouldn't have any problem wearing BYU gear if that were the case, if I were to do this, being the Jim McMahon fan I was as a kid. But this seems ridiculous. That's way overpriced. But it just goes straight to the athletic department. It's like an NIL thing. It's going to pay for the next punter from Australia.
Straight ahead, let's talk some Lions. 97.1.
Hey, we've all seen it lately. You got local companies that are being bought out by big private equity firms from out of state, and then suddenly... you're just a number on a spreadsheet. But when it comes to your home, you deserve better than that. You deserve Shaner Roofing, Windows, and Siding. Shaner is truly family-owned, and they've been serving Michigan homeowners for over 30 years. And when they say they treat you like family, well, they mean it, because they actually are one. They don't answer to distant investors. Instead, they answer to you. And here's what I really like about them. They've got the no-pressure promise, which means you're not going to get that high-stakes sales pitch. Instead, you get an honest assessment of what your roof, windows, or siding's needs actually are, meaning they go up into the attic. They'll take a look at the roof from all angles and determine if it's just a simple repair or if you need a tear down or anything in between. They're going to be honest with you. And that's that kind of integrity that's earned them a 4.9-star Google rating from literally thousands of your neighbors. Plus, you get total peace of mind with a lifetime transferable warranty that comes with every roof installation. Don't settle for a corporate middleman. Trust the name Michigan has relied on for 3 decades, Shaner Roofing. Get your quote today at mymichiganroof.com. That's mymichiganroof.com.
So next week, we probably go 50% in season mode. And that we'll have a college football blitz thingy. We'll have If I Bet It this time next. Do you want to do If I Bet It for week zero?
No.
You won't.
No.
Kang burst out laughing behind the glass.
I know Gator's answer. Come on.
Gator's anti-week zero.
Well, I mean, there's no games.
Well, there's no great games.
There's no good games. There's no mediocre games.
I would describe them as mediocre.
I would not.
You would not?
I like it, Gator. Zero games.
North Carolina versus TCU.
That's the best it has.
I think there's one more. NC State's at Virginia.
And how many games are on the schedule total?
Eight.
So
Sacramento State at Eastern, dude.
Uh-huh. So you got two out of eight that might be marginally entertaining.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it all. I'm going to watch it all.
That does not surprise me in the least.
So you don't want to pick games next week?
No, I do not.
Well, we will do a college football blitz thingy next week.
Well, that's different.
Yes. We are getting close, and of course, we've got Lions football tomorrow and some position battles to speak of as the Lions got backup quarterback Palooza tomorrow, Josh Dobbs and Luke Altmyer.
Yeah, I liked what I saw at Altmyer in the first game. I know he wasn't great, but mm-hmm. I thought that he handled the offense just fine. I thought he threw the ball where it needed to be thrown and had some bad luck throwing to Tesla. But I kind of like what I saw.
Well, what's crazy is I was never a big Hendon Hooker fan. I know you were.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels, for me, just for me, it's been a long time since I thought they've had a young quarterback, a developmental guy that you just never know about. And you're like, okay, I thought we saw enough in week one to think,
Yeah, I don't know if I'm there. I'm not excited about Altmyer.
Well, I was a huge Altmyer fan in college.
Okay. So. Well, there's a difference there. But hey, I'm looking forward to see how he plays tomorrow. Dobbs is going to get the start. He's going to have to show something. He hasn't practiced a ton since he's become a Detroit Lion, but he's also going to learn the playbook.
Yep.
Got some studying to do. So he'll get his opportunity tomorrow and we'll see how that goes. But there's so many players that you are looking forward to seeing how they play. Derek Moore is the guy I want to see. I'm curious how the tight end is going to be played out there because people are battling for positions. I mean, we don't know. There's no update on LaPorta. Burkett isn't pestering Dan Campbell enough, apparently, to get that. But there's I want to see what Juice Scruggs looks like, and hopefully things just calm down a little bit. Because when they made that trade, when they traded Montgomery and they got the draft pick and they got Scruggs, we talked about it at the time. Like, okay, this guy, he's got versatility to play center, can play guard. And then they had also went out and signed Cade Mays as the free agent. Like, okay, well, they just got an upgrade over the upgrade. So
right.
This is the depth part coming in. And now that Scruggs is healthy enough to be back in training camp participating, all right, let's see what you got, big fella. And at the same time, McLaughlin has this great pedigree of playing at Alabama and at Ohio State in college and was quite good. Had a couple of bad snaps to go viral, but beyond that, was actually quite a good center. How is he going to handle this his second time around in a game in the preseason here? And I'm going to look that.
I don't think this guy's in trouble, but I think it's important that he has a good game. And if he's back and healthy, and I think he is. Kang, your guy, Sione Vaki. I think he probably could use a good game.
The Terminator? Did you see his eye?
I thought he was the Truth.
Yeah, well, he's the Truth Terminator.
So he got poked in the eye and he broke his nose.
Yeah,
and
but
he did kind of look like the Terminator.
Yeah, he still got a voice of an angel. But yeah, he needs to step up. And he's kind of been living off of, he's good on special teams too. But now that Jacob Saylor has, he's done pretty well the first game. Our first preseason game and he's done pretty well in practice. I think he definitely has competition, but I think they can both make the roster, but Vaki's got to show something.
Yeah, and I don't think he's in trouble, but Saylor had a good game last week.
He looked good.
They love Vaki, though. They really do love Vaki. So anyway, have a great weekend, everybody. Gator, Mike Valeni I think he might be solo today. Do you have any idea what he might be talking about?
There's a story out of Melbourne, Australia, about trying to clone or genetically enhance seahorses to actually ride them.
Oh, interesting. Oh. That'll be next. Stay safe. Treat each other with respect. 97.1.